Antimicrobial stewardship programs and antimicrobial use strategies. Antimicrobial stewardship is defined as practices dedicated to improving and optimizing antimicrobial selection, dosage, and duration while minimizing patient harm. Antimicrobial stewardship programs, ISPs, optimize the selection, dosage, and duration of antimicrobial treatment to produce the best clinical outcome with minimal toxicity to the patient. Appropriate use of antimicrobials is an ethical imperative because their misuse can both directly and indirectly impact others due to antimicrobial resistance, AMR. Inappropriate antibiotic use increases the risk of medication side effects, adverse events, antibiotic resistance, medication interactions, anaphylaxis, prolonged hospitalization, additional financial costs, patient duress, and mortality. The CDC estimates that over 2 million illnesses and 23,000 deaths occur annually in the United States due to antimicrobial resistance. Appropriate antimicrobial use is also a practical imperative because the antimicrobial pipeline has diminished and the need for effective therapies is outpacing the development of new, effective antimicrobials. Strategies other than simply new drug development must be stressed to curb antimicrobial resistance. Just as there has long been understanding of the role of IP in preventing transmission of antimicrobial resistance, there is an increasing awareness of the need to manage antimicrobial use in healthcare settings more carefully. Antimicrobial stewardship programs are important components of antimicrobial resistance management. Key point: antimicrobial stewardship is the best investment for preventing the proliferation of multiple drug-resistant pathogens and the adverse events associated with the drugs used to treat such pathogens. Antimicrobial stewardship programs may help reduce the legal liability of facilities as well. This can be achieved by the use of information technology along with standardized systems that ensure clear and consistent use of antimicrobials in the facility. In order to be effective, antimicrobial stewardship programs must harness the talents of all members of the healthcare team to effectively identify the organism, determine its susceptibility, institute any precautions required, and prescribe the narrowest acting antibiotic that will destroy it. IPs play a pivotal role in this approach by assisting with early organism and infected patient identification, by promoting compliance with standard and transmission-based precautions and other infection prevention strategies such as care bundle practices and hand hygiene, and by educating staff, patients, and visitors. Uses of antimicrobials. Appropriate reasons for antimicrobial use are categorized as prophylactic, empiric, and pathogen-directed. Key point: adherence to recommended IPC practices reduces the risk of disease transmission. This in turn helps avoid the need for antimicrobial use in the first place. Prophylactic uses. Antimicrobial use that is designed to prevent infection rather than treat known or suspected infection is deemed prophylactic. Surgical antimicrobial prophylaxis is the most common type, and it is indicated for surgical procedures in which the risk of wound infection is high enough to show significant benefit of prophylaxis. Example, prosthetic heart valve replacement. Surgical prophylaxis is commonly aimed at Staphylococcus and Streptococcus species. Therefore, a first-generation cephalosporin, example, cefazolin/Ancef, is an antibiotic commonly used in this situation. If the surgery is being performed in an area with gram-negative normal flora, abdomen, intestine, additional antibiotics such as metronidazole will be used. Antimicrobial prophylaxis may also be used to prevent endocarditis in persons with high-risk valvular lesions, spontaneous bacterial peritonitis in patients with ascites, and malaria in persons traveling to endemic areas. Certain types of prophylaxis are given immediately after exposure to a high-risk pathogen that causes disease, such as meningococcal meningitis or HIV. Empiric uses. Empiric therapy involves administering an antimicrobial to a patient before definitive information about a causative pathogen is available, typically because the results of the culture are pending. The best available information is often used to start treatment promptly because patients are typically sufficiently ill to warrant treatment before culture and sensitivity results are available. Compared with pathogen-directed therapy, empiric therapy is broader in spectrum due to uncertainty about the causative agent. Appropriate cultures should be collected before the initiation of therapy. The clinically determined site of infection, example, lung, urinary tract, and host factors, example, HIV, organ transplant patient, give an indication of likely pathogens and should shape the decision regarding empiric therapy. pathogen-directed / therapeutic uses. Pathogen-directed therapy describes antimicrobial use when the microbial pathogen has been identified based on the results of traditional culture, serology, or other methods such as polymerase chain reactions, PCR, to detect distinct nuclei C acids of the pathogen. Minimizing the cost of therapy is important whenever equivalent alternatives are available. Key point: broad versus narrow spectrum therapy. In pathogen-directed therapy, the use of the narrowest spectrum antimicrobial is believed to reduce the emergence of antimicrobial resistance and superinfection. Although therapy based on a positive nuclei C acid amplification, example PCR test or other non-culture diagnostic test is considered pathogen-directed, susceptibility results are not available to tailor therapy. To overcome this problem, a culture sometimes is performed in tandem to confirm the non-culture diagnostic test result and provide an organism for susceptibility testing. Whenever a nuclei C acid amplification test is performed on a sputum sample for tuberculosis, a smear and culture should also be performed for confirmation and susceptibility testing. However, the nuclei C acid amplification test result may be able to provide a much more rapid answer as to whether the patient likely has tuberculosis, rather than having to wait the full 4 to 6 weeks for Mycobacterium tuberculosis culture results.